Hi there. This is a bootleg copy of Al Gore's speech televised to the delegates at the climate negotiations in Poznan, Poland, on December 13, 2008. Why doesn't the world or Al Gore bother to record such an important speech decently? All we have is this bootleg copy recorded by someone in the audience. Mr. Gore is drowned out at times by applause. We see him speaking into microphones, but for some mysterious reason, the complete and professional audio and video are never delivered to the public. I've seen that in some of his other speeches as well. It's a kind of media crime, really. You can get the full transcript of the speech and the same poor quality video at Al Gore's spot on the web. I'll give you the address at the end of this 9-minute speech. The video begins halfway through as Gore draws on the words of Mahatma Gandhi, summoning a truth force to save us. It leaves out this fascinating comment in the opening remarks. Quote, "We, the human species, have arrived at a moment of fateful decision. It is unprecedented and in some ways even laughable to imagine that we could actually make a conscious choice as a species. But that is nevertheless the challenge that now faces us because our home, Earth, is in danger. What is at risk of being destroyed is, of course, not the planet itself, but the conditions that have made it hospitable for human beings." End quote from Al Gore. Well, not to mention all our cousins, the warm-blooded mammals, and the cornucopia of wonderful plants and animals in our rich ecosphere, all endangered beyond our comprehension. Here is what we have of Al Gore at Poznan, partway along.
Mahatma Gandhi, one of the most inspirational leaders in the history of the said halfway through the last century that the most powerful force in global politics is what he calls satyagraha, which I'm told translates into my language roughly as truth force. The reason why you have been able to continue moving forward is because you understand the truth about the crisis that we face. One of those inspired by Mahatma Gandhi, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., once said in discussing human rights, "Injustice anywhere is a threat to justice everywhere." In that very same way, we now face a crisis that makes it abundantly clear that increased CO2 emissions anywhere are a threat to the integrity of this planet's climate balance everywhere. As a result, the old divide between North and South, between developed countries and developing countries, is a divide that must become obsolete. We must link poverty reduction with the sharp reduction of CO2 emissions, including reduced emissions from deforestation, with reform of the Clean Development Mechanism and adequate funding for adaptation that is essential and must be financed, even though obviously mitigation and prevention are the primary tasks, because without them, adaptation would ultimately prove to be impossible. We hear a lot also about capacity building, a phrase that is frequently used exclusively with respect to the developing countries, and indeed capacity building is important there. But I want to talk about the need for capacity building in the developed countries as well. The political systems in the developed world have become sclerotic. We have to overcome the paralysis that has prevented us from acting and focus clearly and unblinkingly on this crisis, rather than on spending so much time on O.J. Simpson and Paris Hilton and Anna Nicole Smith. In this struggle between our hopes for success and the doubts that constantly complicate this task, we have to call upon the people of the world to speak up more forcefully, to put their weight in the balance of the scales that are measured by world leaders. The truth is that the goals we are reaching toward are incredibly difficult, and even a goal of 450 parts per million, which seems so difficult today, is inadequate. We will soon need to toughen that goal to 350 parts. Understand, as delegates in this process understand all too clearly, the difference between stating the goal and reaching the goal. As governments come to grips with the very difficult work that has to be performed in order to reach even a goal of 450 parts per million, the task can seem very daunting. But for those of us who do understand that the goal should be tougher still, let us remember that the early steps in a process of reaching a goal of 450 parts per million and a process to reach 350 parts per million, the early steps are very similar. And we know from experience that once the process of change begins, once the momentum shifts, once the decisions are arrived at, then the task often becomes easier in the doing. As we start making these changes, we will see that they do strengthen our economies, they do create millions of new jobs, and they do improve the standard of living. To those who are fearful that it is too difficult to conclude this process with a new treaty by the deadline that has been established for 1 year from now in Copenhagen, I say it can be done, it must be done. Let's finish this process. Because ultimately, this really is not a political issue. It is, of course, a moral issue and even a spiritual issue, however you understand that word. And our different traditions lead us to different ways of describing a spiritual challenge. But this one affects the survival of human civilization. It is simply put a question of right versus wrong. And we have to bring to bear that truth force and that moral courage necessary to do what is sometimes seen as impossible. Very simply put, it is wrong for this generation to destroy the habitability of our planet and ruin the prospects of every future generation. Realization must carry us forward. Our children have a right to hold us to a higher standard when the future of all human civilization is hanging in the balance. They deserve better than politicians who sit on their hands and do nothing to confront the greatest challenge humankind has ever faced. This crisis does offer us the chance to experience what few generations have had the privilege of experiencing, a generational mission, a compelling moral purpose, a shared cause, and the opportunity to put aside the pettiness and conflict of politics and narrower concerns to embrace a genuine moral generational mission. I believe that it is time, between now and the gathering in Copenhagen 1 year from now, for heads of state to become personally involved in meeting several times between Poznan and Copenhagen. I don't think that's I am very optimistic about the leadership of the new Danish chair that will preside over the meeting in Copenhagen. And even though I do not have the opportunity to speak formally for the people of my country, I would like to relay to you a message that I heard from the people of the United States of America this year that I think is very relevant to the task the world is facing over this next year. Yes, we can.
That was the only copy around of Al Gore at the climate negotiations at Poznan, Poland, December 13, 2008. Too bad we don't have the complete and good audio. Here is the web address for that ubiquitous part video, blog.algore.com/2008/12/speech_in_poznan.html. Why not just Google Al Gore Poznan, and then pick his blog, which is blog.algore.com. This is Alex Smith of Radio EcoShock at ecoshock.org.